It is a gorgeous day, and it's going to be a great day of learning here, and it's a privilege to be with you. My name's Kevin Carson. So many of you I know from just the years of being here, and I look around the room, it's full of friends. It's great to see you and to spend this time with you to get today started off. We're going to be talking about friendship with accountability and how those the model of biblical friendship and authentic accountability works, and just to talk through a few benefits of it. As we do get started, let me have a word of prayer with us to get us thinking. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful how it makes life. It gives us perspective on life. But you didn't just leave us with your word. You have given us a community of people that we live with and around. You've given us friends. Lord, we're grateful for companions, for the benefits that they bring, for the blessings they provide. Even in this room, we look around and there's many who year after year come, and we are companions in Christ, and for that we're grateful. Lord, I pray that not just this hour, but throughout the day, my brothers and sisters will be blessed, that we will all together grow, and that you'll be honored. Thank you for our time today. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you, how many of you know of a pastor, or possibly a missionary, or a biblical counselor, or someone who's been in some kind of ministry field? If you know one of those people who have lost their ministry because of a particular sin, my guess is that probably every hand in the room would go up. Right? We don't want to know that stuff. In fact, it would be nice if we didn't know anybody at all that were in those particular circumstances. But the reality is, in life, and the longer you're in ministry, you see and you hear about people who get stuck and they get caught and they get in a circumstance where the environment that they put themselves in does not encourage appropriate accountability, and it doesn't help. And then before long, you hear of sins that are, right, shouldn't even be named among God's people. Recently, I have been working with several individuals, and it seems like they come in seasons, but multiple pastors who are in the process of or have potentially lost their ministries because of these various issues. So later this week, I'm going to be talking to you about counseling church leadership. I think it's tomorrow, possibly. But today, we're going to begin by thinking about friendships with accountability, this sense of having this biblical friendship with authentic accountability and how those two things fit together. Sometimes when you use a word like accountability, you get all kinds of stares and people react in various ways. In fact, if you'll notice, what kind of accountability typically exists in a person's life? Well, there's all kinds of accountability in the average person's life and ministry, right? We have vocational accountability often between employer and employee. We have professional accountability. Many of you potentially are certified counselors, or you have a particular vocation you're in where there's a certification that goes with it. Legal accountability, right? Every time I drive to Lafayette, I am aware that there's the potential of having legal accountability on the way. So, thankfully, last night, it was not one of those nights, but I was aware. Right, personal accountability. We have friends who are around us often, and we want them around us. Parental, for those that are younger, spousal, familial, right? Those various levels of family accountability. As the last of January just happened, we get all this paperwork because we have taxes coming up, so we have governmental accountability, right? All kinds of various accountability, sometimes neighbor, social accountability. Various neighborhood community organizations, ecclesiastical accountability, of course, with our elders, spiritual accountability. There's all kinds of accountability. So when we mention it in terms of counseling, we're not really introducing a new idea because we live with accountability all around us. But the second issue becomes important. What are some of the typical responses? Right? We would hope that someone would be grateful for accountability. Someone would desire to use accountability to help them grow. That they would be, with a sense, excited to be held accountable. But we know that often that's not the case. Sometimes it's avoiding accountability, or denying that you have accountability, or rejecting or resenting or manipulating. We could add word after word to talk about what's typical in the terms of how we respond to our accountability. Sometimes we rebel against accountability, become defensive, sometimes with a sense of arrogance. We push back against accountability. I think Psalm 139 is interesting because in that we often read it as if David is grateful all the way through. However, the kind of psalm it is, that isn't, grammatically we would say that isn't the case. At the beginning of Psalm 139, David's not really the happiest person in the world. When he says, "O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You've known my sitting down and my rising up." And as we move through, in verse 7 he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven," talking about as high as you can go, "you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea," the wings of the morning would be the sun when it comes up, and so that would be to the east, and the uttermost parts of the sea would be to the west, talking about the Mediterranean Sea. So if he goes to the east or to the west, it says, "Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." When we read those words, again, it's often easy to say David is grateful for those things. And by the end of the psalm, he is grateful. But when he's initially contemplating, where can I go to get away from God? It's not because he's excited about accountability. Right? There's a sense in which maybe you grew up around a mom or a dad that it seems like every time and everywhere you wanted to do something bad, it seems like they were there. They knew. Right? How in the world does mom know this stuff? How does dad know that that's what I'm contemplating? Right? It's just this sense of accountability. Sometimes we don't respond too well to it. A couple key questions here. Are you doing these things when it comes to accountability to be God-pleasing or God-glorifying or God-honoring? And what motivates ultimately you as it relates to accountability? Just one other personal note before we jump into the text itself away from the introduction here. I think that as we, as biblical counselors, and as we engage people, and as we are living inside our own ministry context, it's very easy, even for us, to potentially say, "Well, I have accountability," and I do. I've got a couple groups and people that I'm accountable to. But even then, we have to make sure our goal isn't to just jump through a hoop or to just do something that someone's asked us to do, but instead we want to be motivated by what's going to actually help us long term. So with that in mind, let's jump in with friendships. What are the benefits of friendship? Companionships, those are friends walking down the road of life with you, are important for each one of us, right? We need those folks. We need those people. My dad, when he went to Bible college, and my dad's a pastor as well, and so when he was in Bible college, he came out of Bible college with two close friends. And those guys and he have been friends all throughout ministry, and they've helped each other and served with each other, and it's just been a beautiful thing. And even as a child growing up, I was able to watch that and to enjoy it and to appreciate it. And so when my twin brother and I went to Bible college, we prayed. We made it a prayer request as we talked about it, and we said, if Dad came out of Bible college with two friends, let's pray that God would give us a group of friends that we could live life with. And over the course of 4 years, God put about 8 of us together. And over the last 25, 30 years, it has just been a joy to do ministry with those kinds of close friendships, right? Those companions. My brother, I often think of friends and I forget him, right? He's my twin brother. We have lived together, served together. Now we planted a church together. It's just a joy to have him as a companion along this journey of life. And so when we talk about companions, we think in the Bible of key friendships like David and Jonathan.